Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion, former head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Indianapolis Colts, and you can catch him doing tremendous work as a studio analyst for NBC's Football Night in America, the incomparable Tony Dungy, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, thank you so much for your time this morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm a big Warriors fan, too, and I'm kind of feeling some of those same things, but I think they're going to get it together, and come May, we'll see the real Warriors team.
What would be your assessment of what you've seen from them through the first half of the season? Do you think when a team like this has been to the top of the mountain so many times in the last few years that they're just suffering from a little bit of a lethargic nature, because it's very difficult to get up for 82 regular season games when you've already been to the top of Mount Everest?
No, that's what it looks like to me, and it is hard in the NBA when you're playing so many games in so many months, and really you're still 4 months away from critical time. So I think they're just having that normal little lull that you might see. But it's certainly not the team we're used to seeing, no question about it.
Well, down to the nitty-gritty here in the NFL with just eight teams remaining, including the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles, how impressive is it that they've been able to rally up, much like the Warriors try to do, and still stay competitive here in this postseason?
I'll tell you what, it is championship heart, and that's pretty impressive. You know, they were counted out, really looked bad the last time they went to New Orleans, and everyone's saying, well, they're not going to make it. But they rallied. And of course, Nick Foles has a lot to do with that. He is a special young man and I think brought some energy to them. But everybody stepped up their game. The defense has played better. They've gotten some contributions from some young guys in the secondary. But I think you really have to credit Doug Peterson and that veteran leadership on that team for bringing them back.
Coach, this question doesn't necessarily have to do with necessarily football or any sport, but just kind of your overall opinion, because I'm on that saying of thinking, like, if you think about different coaches and their different styles, you look at yourself and certain coaches that are out there in the National Football League and in college, the dabble, and then you have in NFL, you have, of course, you know, who's won many Super Bowls. You see what the Patriots are doing in Belichick, his method, and you watch last night Saban and his method, and you saw dabble. Which way you think is more inducive for success? You have the coach like yourself, they're not necessarily going to yell at guys, but you're going to hold them accountable. You see the way Dabo Sweeney's doing it. You see the way the Bama does it. You see the way Belichick does it. Which way, in your opinion, you get most out of the guys?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Lorenzo, is setting the standard and, as you said, holding people accountable. And this is how we are going to do things. We're not going to accept anything less. And there's different ways to do that. I think my way of doing it, Dabo Sweeney's way of doing it, is a little different maybe than Coach Belichick, Coach Saban. But in the end, you get the same result. I think the biggest thing, boy, is being consistent and letting people know that, hey, you got to live up to a standard. And for me, I kind of, the way I did it as a Christian was just say, hey, this is what the Lord expects, the best every time we go out. And that's the way I tried to drill it to my players and got it across, and they accepted that.
Hall of Famer Tony Dungy with us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, Niner fans, they're waiting, bated breath. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt this past season after all that anticipation, but they can feel the next step coming. Bright young play caller in Kyle Shanahan, George Kittle with a remarkable season as the tight end. But one of the big talking points out here in the Bay Area is, now that the reports are out that the Steelers plan to trade wide receiver Antonio Brown before the start of the league year in mid-March, should the Niners pursue Antonio Brown? He's had some issues with some great members of the organization, the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you were a young team like San Francisco, would you be calling Pittsburgh to try to swing a deal for Antonio Brown?
Well, I can tell you, I went through that a lot as a coach during my career. And my question to our personnel people would always be, why is this person available? If this is such a great player, why are they trying to trade him? And sometimes it can be as simple as money. And maybe it's a contract and you say, okay, we don't have enough to pay him. He's disgruntled about money. We can fix that. But if there are other reasons, underlying reasons, and usually they are, because people aren't giving away great players just to help you be better, that's usually a red flag.
Sure.
How difficult is it for a young coach like Kyle Shanahan, who has a pretty solid culture in San Francisco by all measurements, how challenging is it to bring in a player who has this sort of baggage and make it work in a new locker room?
Well, you always think you're the one that can do it. You can, smooth over all the rough edges and all the problems that someone had. They'll be fixed when they get there. I know John Lynch very well, and I talked to John when he first took the job, and we talked about what we did in Tampa and how we did it and our formula. And we really tried to stay away from problems and issues and bringing in people that had problems other places. I don't know how they'll handle this one and what they'll do. But for the most part, in my time, I've found that people who have problems in one locker room, those problems don't usually vanish because they go to another locker room.
Coach, when you think about a team like the Dallas Cowboys, you look at Amari Cooper, he leaves Oakland, people thought he couldn't play, and the guy's having a heck of a year. You look at Ezekiel Elliott, you think about Dak Prescott, and I'm going somewhere because then you look at DeMarcus Lawrence, a pass rusher. Can they pay all these guys, or do you? Because the Niners are going to be in the market for a pass rusher. Is DeMarcus does you think Lawrence will be available? Because they are going to try to extend Prescott. You're going to have to make sure you keep Amari Cooper. Zeke can want to get paid. What do you think in Dallas when you're talking about pass rusher? Are they going to keep that team intact?
You know, it's going to be difficult as they go forward. I don't know how much longer they can, but they're fortunate. They've still got Dak Prescott on his rookie deal, and we saw that in Seattle. When Seattle was very, very – they had Russell Wilson on cheap deal. They were able to keep that Legion of Boom together for a period of time. But then when Wilson's second contract came up, they had to start letting people go. And that would be the same thing in Dallas. Can they do it one more year and work through this? Eventually, they're going to have to pay Dak Prescott real quarterback money, and then they're not going to be able to keep all those guys.
Hall of Famer Tony Dungy with us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we have seen elite pass rushing coming from two very different positions this year. Khalil Mack, for example, rushing on the outside, Aaron Donald rushing from the interior. The Niners are in the market for more of a pass rush, and we've been breaking down both edge defenders as well as interior defensive linemen. For you, if you could have an elite outside edge rusher or an elite interior defensive lineman, which do you think carries more value?
Well, I always like the outside rusher as when I was coaching, but I think the game is different now in the quick rhythm and getting rid of the ball. The inside, what Aaron Donald has been able to do has been fantastic. And then you saw it, if you watched the Baltimore Chargers game, you saw it on Sunday where the Chargers took their elite pass rushers, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and they put them inside over the guard, and they cut that quick pressure up inside on Lamar Jackson and made a tremendous difference. So I think the way the game is going, finding inside pass rushers is critical.
The Ohio State Buckeyes have a kid by the name of Nick Bosa who sat out a handful of games trying to prepare himself for the draft. As a talent evaluator and a former coach, do you see that as a red flag, or are you able to see beyond that and see the player for maybe making a good decision for himself?
Well, what you have to understand now is these guys now have agents in their ears. When you and I were playing, going, and when I was playing college football, that's all you thought about.
Sure.
And you were excited about that. Nowadays, you have this agent who you may not have signed with him yet, but he's telling you, hey, you've got to be careful. You can make $20 million and you can't get hurt. You're already banged up a little bit. You better protect yourself. And that's something that young people didn't have to go through 25 and 30 years ago. So it's different. You love to see the guys play and not worry about that. You can see where this is coming from, and I wouldn't red flag.
Coach, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, because it kind of faded out.
If you're
going to pick a team, the better defense in the AFC, you look at the Colts, you look at the Patriots, you look at the Chargers, which team do you feel that is the best? We know offensively right now, just on paper, it looks like an AFC Kansas City. But if you're going to pick a defense in the AFC, a team that's still left, who would you have?
Well, I like what the Chargers do. They're able to rush the passer. They've got Ingram and Bosa. They've got a lot of speed. I have seen the Colts just a couple of times. They impressed me in Houston with their team speed and their effort and their energy. I think they're the two best defenses in it right now. And I kind of would favor the Chargers a little bit because of those pass rushers.
Super Bowl champ Tony Dungy with us here on 95.7 The Game. Yesterday, as a bit of a thought exercise, I read off the profile for a team without naming the team. For example, I said there was a quarterback off an injury, a first-time general manager, a first-time head coach. The team was coming off a 4-12 record. They had a lot of salary cap space. They had high draft picks. They had lost their starting running back. They had a lesser-known wide receiver unit. It sounds like the San Francisco 49ers because it is. But it's also your former team, Coach. It's the Indianapolis Colts. The profile between the two is remarkably similar, which leads us to believe that maybe the Niners are closer to turning the corner than some might believe. If the Colts could turn it around this quick, do you think the Niners could find themselves back to the playoffs next year?
I absolutely do. I mean, we've seen worst to first every year, two or three divisions, and it happens. And that's because everyone is close in this salary cap era. And you're not that far away. And it takes good quarterback play for sure. And if you get that, it makes such a difference. I mean, look at the Baltimore Ravens this year. They were struggling. They changed quarterbacks and got some effective quarterback play from Lamar Jackson, and all of a sudden they get on a run. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz was playing well, but Nick Foles came in and just elevated that position a little bit, and they get on a run. Andrew Luck, you know, they brought in some defensive players, yes, changed the system, got healthier. But Andrew Luck coming back was a big part of that 4-12 to, you know, to a playoff team. So, yeah, the Niners, they get Jimmy Garoppolo back. They've got enough pieces to all of a sudden be very, very relevant.
And they've got an offensive-minded head coach, and with Matt LaFleur reportedly getting the Packer job, it seems like the movement toward offensive-minded head coaches is now in vogue. Do you see an edge being made now from teams that are going in that direction from the head coaching spot?
I don't, personally. I think you need a leader, and you need a person who's going to bring everyone together. That can be offense, defense, special teams. John Harbaugh has been one of the best coaches in the league. He came from special teams in Philadelphia. You know, Baker Mayfield was on the bench, and Baker Mayfield was playing okay when he got in under Hugh Jackson. Then all of a sudden they switched to a defensive coach and bring Freddie Kitchens into that offensive coordinator position, and Baker Mayfield explodes. So it's not that, hey, we need an X and O guy as the head coach. We need a quarterback guru. If you have great leadership, that's what wins for you in the National Football League.
Very well said. Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champ, former head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Indianapolis Colts. You can check him out now as a tremendous studio analyst for NBC's Football Night in America, the great Tony Dungy with us here on 95.7 The Game. Coach, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
Hey, great to be with you guys. And you know my man Lorenzo Neal. I always love taking care of you.
You're the best, Coach. Love you, brother.